blessed my heart through the years. He blessed us last night. You pray for him as he comes to carry out the service and preach to us. I love you.
You'll find the scripture tonight in the book of John, chapter 11. John, chapter 11, verse number 1. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And then verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which had come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, amen, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. Because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. Let's bow our heads again, please, while we pray. Our Father, we bow in your presence. I ask you to forgive me, to cleanse me of every sin. Lord, we do thank you for this day, for the mercies and the blessings of it. We thank you, Lord, for your power that has been in this place today. Thank you for the service this morning, for those that preached, and for Brother Dana obeying you. And we thank you, Lord, that the power of the Lord has been present all day to work in hearts, and even tonight. Thank the wonderful message, and thank you, Lord, for drawing our hearts to Calvary. Lord, may we never forget the great price that was paid for the redemption of our souls. Thank you, Lord, for this camp meeting, for all the wonderful singing, for those that have blessed our hearts tonight. Thank you for every man of God that's here and every church that's represented. I pray that you'll bless these men in their respective places of service. Oh, dear God, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee and sinners shall be converted. I pray for this meeting. I pray for Brother Steve. Thank you for him. And I pray, Lord, that you'll give him physical strength and spiritual wisdom as he leads, as he directs this meeting. Thank you, Lord, for the discernment and your power that you put on him, Lord, to lead this meeting and to do all the work that you've called him to do across this country. I pray, Lord, tonight, now that you'll be pleased to touch thy servant, give me that special anointing, illuminate my mind and loose my tongue, and may the gospel go forth in its power. Lord, should there be those among us tonight that are strangers to your grace, that have never been to Calvary by faith, may this be there they look to thee for salvation through the blood of the Lord Jesus. We love you because you first loved us and gave yourself for us. In the name that's above every name, the name of our blessed blood-stained Redeemer, I pray, amen. I want to speak to you tonight, and I will be brief as I possibly can. I want to speak to you about the destroyer of death. Of course, the Lord Jesus, John records 7 miracles before the crucifixion. The first miracle, one of the happiest occasions in life, or at least it should be, a wedding. The last miracle, of course, was the resurrection of Lazarus from the dead. And in this great miracle, in this sign, Jesus revealed himself as a destroyer of death. It demonstrates his power, not only to resurrect from physical death, but to resurrect from spiritual death. And so as we examine these verses, you'll note that Christ confronts death. Jesus came to this world to abolish death. The first Adam brought death and ruin, but the last Adam, the second Adam, has brought life and redemption. 2 Timothy 1:10. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The Lord Jesus came to destroy the power of death. He gives physical life. Acts 17:25, he giveth to all life and breath and all things. In him we live and move and have our being. He gives spiritual life. John 10:10, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That is life above the common, life above the ordinary. 1 John 5:12. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Verse 11 of our text, the Bible says, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. Jesus said, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Now, of course, it's a solemn thing to look into the windows of eternity and to look beyond. And, of course, it is appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. It's a solemn thing to die. Whether you're a saint or whether you're a sinner, it's a solemn thing to think about leaving this life and entering into the realm of eternity. And who can imagine the terrible horror that every sinner must feel when the iron door of the gates of death has closed shut, and forever, they're eternally separated from God. But on the other hand, who can describe the soul-thrilling rapture of leaving this world and beholding the Lord Jesus in all of His glory? As I've often said, I do not know what my last words will be. I do not even know if I'll be conscious to have any last words. But I do hope that my last words will be Jesus. I do know that it will be my first word in heaven, Jesus. I do know that when I close my eyes in death, that I shall behold my Lord in all of His glory. Sometimes death comes suddenly. Sometimes it comes slowly. But it does come surely. And I know that someday, excluding the rapture of the church, that I'm not going to be expounding death. I'm going to be experiencing death. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. But Christ viewed death realistically. Death comes as silent as the dew. It breaks asunder the strongest bonds ever forged on earth. Death does not respect the marriage bonds. It separates husbands from wives. It separates children from parents and ushers their children down its long, dark corridors. It removes the soul from the body, the mortal from the immortal. Job said, I know that thou wilt bring me to death and to the house appointed for all living. Every town, of course, has its cemetery. Every paper has its obituary. When John F. Kennedy was running for president, and he chose Lyndon Johnson as his running mate, as vice president, his brother Bobby questioned him as to why he would choose Lyndon Johnson, because they both hated Lyndon Johnson. And so his brother Bobby questioned him as to why he would even choose Lyndon B. Johnson. And John F. Kennedy said, it does not make any difference. I'm not going to die in office. But on November 22nd, 1963, an assassin's bullet in Dallas proved him terribly wrong. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. Death is a strong house. It does not open, and it does not close at the command of men. Margaret Taylor, who is the wife of President Zachary Taylor, she never had her picture made, would never allow anyone to take her picture. And so no one knew even what the president's wife looked like. But when her husband, Zachary Taylor, died, on three different occasions, she had the ice removed from his body so that she could view her husband, refusing to believe that he was really dead and that life had really gone from his body. But I remind you that death is a strong house, and it does not open or close at the command of men. This man Lazarus was dead, and Christ viewed death redemptively. Though Jesus knew that Lazarus was going to die, in His plan of redemption, death was already conquered. Death is an enemy, but thank God it is the last enemy. And it is one that has been conquered. And no one could conquer death save the Lord Jesus Christ. No one but Christ could abolish death. And that is exactly what he did. The last enemy that is destroyed will be death. Of course, people use all kinds of phrases to try to soften the terror of death. But death is a frightening word. Verse 11, Jesus said, that I may awake him out of sleep. And there's only one in this universe that can look at death like that. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Men and women who are already dead in trespasses and sins, and already in the process of perishing. There is a way of life through Jesus Christ because of what Christ did on the cross. And I do appreciate the message by our brother Taylor. Thank God for Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free, and pardon there was multiplied to me. And I thank God that at Calvary he paid my sin debt. I love that old hymn, my sin, not in part, but the whole is nailed to the cross. I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is well with my soul. Christ conquered death. The Lord Jesus came that he might destroy death. But death is undisturbed slumber. Our friend Lazarus sleepeth. Now here's a sleep that no one awakens from unless Jesus Christ himself intervenes. And while that's true physically, that is true spiritually. But death is not the end of life. Death is not extinction. Jesus said our friend Lazarus. Lazarus was just as much a friend in death as he'd been in life. And Jesus knew exactly where he was and what he was doing. And of course, if you could have talked to Lazarus, I'm sure that Lazarus would not have even wanted to come back into this world. I think when a child of God safely reaches the shore, that we'll be so glad to be there that we won't ever leave. And of course, our thoughts have been with Brother Rule and his family, and his dear wife that just recently went to be with the Lord. But Brother Jamie, if we could talk to Brother Rule and your mom tonight, there's no way in this world we could talk them into coming back. Not on your life. Not back to a world of sin. Not back to a world of corruption. For he is now enjoying the wonderful presence of the Lord. And someday when my body is dead, my soul will not be in that body. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. And when this body lies smoldering in the grave, thank God, in an opener song, I'll be singing his power to save. I've told you this before, I'm sure. I had the privilege a time or two to visit the grave of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. The first time I visited that grave and read the words of William Capper that are inscribed on his monument, on his tomb, the words of William Capper. There, since by faith I saw the stream, thy flowing womb supply, redeeming love has been my theme, and shall be till I die. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing thy power to save. Dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Amen. And the first thing I did was go over by myself get down on my face in the wet grass. And Brother Dan, I said, dear Lord, I want to thank you. I've been to the same stream. I've been washed in the same fountain. And someday when this body is silent in death, throughout eternity, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Christ Jesus who paid my sin debt and has made salvation possible. He has conquered death. Homer Rod Heaver, the song leader of Billy Sunday, lived at Winona Lake, Indiana. And one afternoon he had the faculty from a local Christian college to have a meal with him. Virgil P. Brock, the author, the hymn writer, was present at that gathering. And the cousin, the blind cousin of Virgil P. Brock, was also there. And they watched a beautiful sunset. And after some of the faculty had described that sunset, the blind cousin of Virgil P. Brock said, "Thank you for describing it to me. I can see through other people's eyes. I think I often see beyond the sunset." And he wrote, "Beyond the sunset, oh blissful morn, when with our dear Savior heaven is begun, earth's tall and ending, oh glorious dawn. Beyond the sunset, when day is done, unrelieved separation, the body without the spirit is dead, and only God can call back the dead. The natural man, of course, is well, is void of spiritual life, but being born again, not of corruptible, but by the incorruptible word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Now it seems to me often today that modern religion and modern evangelism just tries to clean up the corpse. That is, those that are spiritually dead, and perfume it and powder it and make it look good. But men are still dead in trespasses and in sin. And sometimes I tell Brother Scott, the churches remind me of one funeral home exchanging corpse with another funeral home. But if the Lord puts life in you, He has given you a heart for God. He has raised you from spiritual death to spiritual life. There's no way that you can make a person who does not have divine life respond to the things of God. You can make all the rules and regulations you want to make. You can beat them and hound them and hunt them, but they can't live for Christ until Christ Jesus comes into their heart. And you, have they quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin? And only God can resurrect a dead sinner who's dead in trespasses and sin. Evangelism cannot do it, but the Lord Jesus can resurrect those that are spiritually dead. Christ confronts death. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And that word for groan is the same meaning as a horse would groan out of anger or displeasure. And our Lord groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And then we read the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. The eyes that could see the end from the beginning, the Creator who makes the birds sing, was the man of sorrow. Sorrows and acquainted with our grief. When he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. He wept because of sin. Sin was about to hurt his people. And he wept because Israel had rejected Christ. He wept on this occasion because he was about to bring Lazarus into a world of sin and sorrow. He could see Lazarus in paradise. He knew exactly what Lazarus was doing. And I do not believe that Jesus wept just because Lazarus was dead. And of course, He is the sympathizing Savior. He does care when we've said goodbye to the dearest on earth. But on this occasion, this is just temporary sadness. In a few moments, our Lord was going to raise him from the dead. He was going to bring him from the tomb. But our Lord wept because of the root cause of sin. And don't ever forget, as already been mentioned tonight, that was my sin and your sin that caused Christ Jesus to become all that a holy God must pour his wrath out upon. And the Lord Jesus died in my place. He died in my stead. Christ died for our sins. It was because Christ became sin for us. And all the wrath of the holy God was poured out on that sacred head. That you and I have been brought from spiritual death to spiritual life. The Lord Jesus, who robed himself in the universe, who clothed himself with the stars and sanded his feet with the stars of heaven, came down to this earth and on Calvary paid my sin debt and made it possible that I might be brought from death to life. Christ conquers death. Jesus said in verse 34, where have you laid him? He went to the tomb of Lazarus for the sake of Lazarus. He went into his own tomb for my sake and your sake. He tasted death for me. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. For 4,000 years, the keys of death and hell swung on the devil's belt by the right of conquest in the Garden of Eden. But I well imagine my Lord, as Ephesians describes our Lord, going down to the lower parts of the earth, leading captivity captive. And I can well imagine my Lord going up to the devil, those keys of death and hell swinging freely from his belt because of his conquest in the Garden of Eden. I imagine my Lord going up to the devil and saying, I'll have those. And he went forth leading captivity captive. He died and he rose again. He did die, but he conquered death. He conquered hell. And because he lives, he shall live also. Somehow tonight, if we could call the roll of the dead, if you could visit the holy prophet Muhammad's tomb, and you would call the name of Muhammad in the silent caverns of the dead, Muhammad would answer, here. You could go to the caverns of the dead and call the name Zoroaster, and Zoroaster would answer, here. But if you went to the caverns of the dead and called Jesus of Nazareth, there would be absolute silence. And if you called again, there would be a throne, not from the caverns of the dead, but from the majestic encircled right hand of God. And the Bible would declare, the Lord would say, there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He arose from the dead. He conquered sin and death and hell. And I'm just going to skip to the end. Jesus went out to the tomb of Lazarus, and he called Lazarus by name. I'm glad he came to my tomb one day. He called me by name. And he called Lazarus by name. And someone had said, if he had not named Lazarus, the whole graveyard would have gotten up. But he said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, lying on that, in that cold, hewn out sepulcher, lying on that cold slab of marble stone, hearing Jesus call his name, came hopping up out of the grave, mortuary apparel and all. The heart began to operate, and his body muscles began to pulsate, and he came hopping out of the grave, and Jesus said, loose him and let him go. And Jesus raised his voice to a shout, Lazarus, come forth. On all three occasions, When Jesus raised his voice to a shout, the result is a resurrection. It was true in the case of Lazarus. It was true on the cross. When he cried, "It is finished." And many of the saints that slept in their graves arose. And it will happen again when he comes in the rapture. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. The trump of God shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And forever shall we be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Over in the 12th chapter, there's a strange scene. Lazarus is having a meal with the Lord Jesus who raised him from the dead. Now, if it had been our day, the person had been dead, laid in the tomb 4 days, they'd have made a movie, written a book about it, told you all about their experience. I think it's strange those that, like the Apostle Paul, that was caught up in the third heaven, said it's so wonderful, it's so glorious, no use to try to tell you about it, you couldn't handle it. And I think probably Lazarus felt that way. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've seen. My soul wasn't lying in that body. My soul wasn't lying in some old smoldering grave. I've been in paradise. I've been in the presence of the Lord. I've seen the saints. They're there. And someday that will become a reality. Before I was saved as a 9-year-old boy, one thing that just used to torment me and horrify me was the thought of dying. I remember the first corpse I ever saw was a 5 or 6-year-old boy down on the Yadkin River. And Brother Dan, it just scared me to death. I couldn't get it out of my mind. And then until I was saved at the age of 9, I could just see that casket lid shutting. And me in that box, and it horrified me. But honestly, since the night the Lord saved me, I've never really dreaded it again. Because I found out that I will live again. But I was thinking the other day, flying from Texas or somewhere, I was thinking, now if this plane blows up, that's not a nice thought to think about 40,000 feet in the air. But if this plane blows up, my body will be scattered everywhere. But my soul will be in the presence of the Lord. Now, if I believe like some people that my soul would stay in the body and my body's destroyed, I mean, where does the soul go? If the body's blown to smithereen, does that soul land in a tree somewhere? Is it out in the field? Hung in a gutter? Where is it? And of course, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord for the saved and the unsaved, to be eternally separated from God. But as sure as there's a God in heaven, when this old body lies silent in death and corruption sets in, thank God I shall rise to worlds unknown and behold my Lord in all of his glory on the throne. I am the resurrection. Yes, conquered death and sin and hell. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.